Welcome to Machine Learning, How the World Works. I'm going to look at the question of why are hedge funds betting German bonds will have a sell-off? When there's a sell-off, it means that the government debt is becoming too large or too risky for investors to keep their money in, so they start to sell off. And I'm going to examine whether or not that trend by hedge funds still exists today. Okay, number one, the idea. Here's the proposition. Hedge funds are betting that German bonds will sell off. They believe that Germany has too much debt and the debt will slow growth. A power law that exists is when debt, that debt always slows growth. So if I were to analyze the United States extreme debt, I would say the United States is experiencing economic slowdown, or we may soon see a return to depression economics. Hedge funds believe a market correction will occur and they're moving to become cash rich, waiting for the tensions to increase. German bond yields are expected to double by 2014 at that time. I didn't get the actual number today, what the German bond yields are, but I would imagine with inflation, they're pretty high. The German bonds are too expensive, and as a result, the yields have to go up. Now, it was interesting at the time that Paulson and Grossman were both bearish on German bonds, meaning that they were shorting the bonds, hoping to take profits on the bond decline. All right, let's examine each of these ideas. Hedge funds are betting that German bonds will sell off. They believe that Germany has too much debt and the debt will slow growth. This idea is supported by the notion that hedge funds are betting on the sell-off of German bonds due to the concerns about German debt levels and their impact on growth. Hedge funds believe a market correction will occur and the cash rich waiting for the tensions to increase. This idea aligns with the concept that hedge funds are anticipating a market correction and holding cash in preparation for increased tensions. Paulson and Grossman are bearish about German bonds, meaning they're shorting the bonds. This idea is supported by the assertion of specific individuals, Paulson and Grossman, holding bearish sentiments about German bonds. German bond, German government bonds are bought at a discount, redeemed at face value, and the investor profits on the gap. Okay, so let's analyze what that means. Buying German bonds at a discount and redeeming them at face value is like purchasing a high-quality product at a discount price during a sale, then being able to exchange it for full face value or full value when the sale is over. It's akin to buying a designer handbag on sale and then being able to exchange it for the original retail price once the sale period is over. In both cases, the buyer benefits from the initial discount and gains the full value later on, similar to the advantage gained from purchasing discounted government bonds and redeeming them at full face value. So German bonds had a negative 0.0122% discount, meaning the investor could get back less money for the bond. Now, how did the ECB, which is the European Central Bank, outlooks affect German bonds? The European Central Bank showed banks that accepted three-year loans totaling 137 billion euros will repay faster than expected. Well, this means that the ECB was expecting economic growth because in economic growth, debt is paid off. This is taken as a sign that the European banks were recovering and money markets were rising. A rising money market suggested that German bond yields would increase, passing the U.S. 10-year bond rates. demand for safe haven debt would decrease and yields increase. So that's what happens during economic recovery, is that money moves out of safe haven, so they're no longer buying the bonds, so yields have to go up, and they're moving it into faster growth assets. So let's make an analogy here. Imagine a race with a sprinter initially trailing behind, suddenly gets gained ground and overtakes the long distance runner. Similarly, a rising money market in Germany suggests that the German bond yields, initially lagging behind the U.S. 10-year bond rates, are gaining momentum and are projected to surpass U.S. rates, just like the sprinter overtaking the long-distance runner. This analogy illustrates the potential for German bonds to outpace the 10-year bond rates as the money markets in Germany gain strength. Japanese 10-year bonds yields plunged to 0.30% as investors bought bonds. Japanese bonds may dump, banks may dump bonds as they become too volatile to hold on to their books. As banks, pensions, and insurance companies dump the Japanese bonds, there may not be anyone to buy them. The situation of the Japanese banks potentially dumping bonds due to volatility can be likened to a scenario where a group of passengers on a turbulent flight suddenly lose confidence in the aircraft's stability and start rushing to the exits. As the passengers become increasingly concerned about the safety of the flight, they may attempt to exit the plane, causing a chaotic situation. Well, they better be moving fairly slow, because they wouldn't survive, because there are no parachutes. So how could they exit the plane? Similarly, if banks, pensions, and insurance companies start dumping Japanese bonds due to volatility, it could create a situation where there are not enough buyers for these bonds, leading to instability in the bond market, akin to the chaos that ensues when passengers rush to exit a turbulent flight. How is money being moved from Germany to Japan? Are investors selling German bonds and investing money in yen? Is the new money stabilizing yen? Well, if it is moving from Germany to Japan, then the JCB will start buying down or buying up, selling off yen to keep their currency lower, so that imports don't take a hit. Because if imports get more expensive, then the exports from Japan will decrease. Money is moving from Germany to Japan through various financial mechanisms. Investors may be selling German bonds and investing the proceeds into yen, which can contribute to the movement of funds from Germany to Japan. And additionally, multinational companies obtain financing from major money centers around the world in different currencies to finance their operations, which also can involve the movement of funds between countries. The new money flow into Japan may have implications for the stability of the yen. Again, we get back to the currency wars. So the yen wants, the move is to keep the yen fairly low against the dollar, so that Japanese imports will be favored, so we'll buy Japanese cars, electronics, and so forth. In the past, currency fluctuations have significant macroeconomic implications for various countries, and the appreciation or depreciation of a currency can impact inflation, trade balances, and monetary policies. Therefore, the influx of new money from Germany to Japan could potentially impact the stability of the yen depending on various economic factors and dynamic market dynamics. The dollar to yen exchange continues to weaken. Has the Bank of Japan, the central bank, managed to break the Japanese bond market with its fiscal policies? As Japanese investors fear wealth destruction, they are buying U.S. treasuries. The weakening of the dollar to yen exchange and the potential impact of the Bank of Japan's fiscal policies on the Japanese bond market can be viewed from the perspective of the elite as a strategic move to navigate the complex dynamics of global financing. The weakening of the dollar to the yen exchange may be indicative of various factors, including the impact of the Bank of Japan's fiscal policies. As Japanese investors fear wealth destruction, they may seek alternate investments such as U.S. treasuries, safe haven investing. This situation can be likened to historical instances in the mid-1990s when external shocks, including strengthening of the U.S. dollar, had adverse effects on various economies, leading to a shift in investment and currency dynamics. Now, that's one thing I didn't look up, is whether or not foreign investment has increased into the United States as U.S. Treasury bond yields have climbed. But my guess is that they have. So countries are now investing into the United States, giving government more money to build projects. So we're going to see much more government spending in the near future. From the perspective of the elite, the management of currency and the bond market is a strategic game where decisions made by the central bank and investors can have far-reaching implications for global economic power dynamics. The elite may strategically position themselves to capitalize on the market shifts and navigate the complexities of the international finance to maintain and expand their influence. Well, I think it's not about money and about wealth and accumulation. I think at this point it's about control. Bank of Japan plans on purchasing $12 billion of government debt. Again, as they buy that debt, that will then causes the bond price to go up and the yields to go down. Bank of Japan plans to buy $62 billion of government debt over the next 5 years. Okay, this is back in 2012. So they have to look at the implications of that bond buying. I haven't done that research. The planned purchases of $12.2 billion of government debt, along with the intention to buy $62 billion of government debt over a five-year period of time, would fuel a 2% inflation target. So that they want to heat up their economy. That's according to Keynesian economic theory, which is the worst theory ever devised by mankind. But they believe in using money supply and inflation to stimulate the economy. So their goal is to increase spending or monetary policy to boost economic activity. The belief that Bank of Japan can combat prolonged deflation through inflationary fiscal policy aligns with the notion of expansionary monetary measures to reinvigorate economic growth and stabilize prices. This is akin to strategies employed during the Great Depression, where central banks and governments implemented policies to counter deflation and stimulate economic recovery. So as a result, everyone becomes poorer through a tax which is called inflation. And so we have entered in since 2011, so nearly a decade plus, of depression economics, even though we don't classify it as a depression economics or a serious recession. We're paying for it through inflation. So we're prolonging the pain through inflation. The Bank of Japan plans to purchase government debt and implement inflationary fiscal policies. Okay, German bonds slumped as European central banks gave no hint of further interest rate cuts. The German benchmark 10-year bond was at 1.49 versus 10-year bond yields at 1.13. So If you look at the Spanish year bond at the 2012, it was increasing. If you remember, a lot of bailout money was going to the Spain. No one wanted to buy their debt, and so yields were really high. They were as high as 4.6% at the time. There was a huge bond sell-off as we discovered that many of these countries, due to the European Union and their relationships, were not very productive. And as a result, they were overvalued. And when the market realized that, then there was a serious correction. You know, the Fed also engaged in what they call monetary easing. They began a series of buying billions of dollars worth of U.S. treasuries in effect to bring down yields and raise bond prices. And this was also continued during COVID-19. They continued this economic distress and continued buying. The Fed engaged in quantitative easing to reduce those long-term interest rates, making borrowing for businesses and individuals cheaper. And this became their monetary policy to support the economics. During COVID, the Fed cut short-term interest rates to nearly zero or to zero and restarted large-scale asset purchases, commonly known as quantitative easing. The Fed turned to quantitative easing when short-term interest rates fall to below zero and the economic still needs help. The Fed has a history of engaging in large-scale asset purchases during times of economic distress. For example, in 2012, the Fed announced that it would purchase $85 billion of bonds each month through the end of the year. Well, today the Fed is supposedly not buying bonds, but are they buying stocks? Why is the stock market so high at over 35,000? Who's making those purchases on the U.S. stock market? So currently it's believed that the Fed has tapered back its asset purchases, signaling a shift to its policy stance. It has been raising the interest rates as there's been a gradual reduction in bond purchases. The adjustment in the Fed policy is a significant step away from the previous large-scale asset purchases. Well, this move indicates the Fed is confident in economic recovery and its readiness to adapt its monetary policies in response to changing circumstance. Tapering can have a long-term effect on long-term interest rates through both its direct effects on the bond market and the signal it provides about Fed future policy intentions. As the Fed gradually reduces its bond purchases, it may influence the dynamics of the bond market and contribute to changes in long-term interest rates. The Fed's primary focus is on monetary fiscal policy, which typically involves purchasing government treasuries and other financial instruments to influence interest rates and support the economy. Now, if we were to hypothesize a scenario where the Fed secretly was purchasing billions of dollars of stocks per day, we might believe that the Fed might be considering these actions in extreme financial crises to prevent a systemic collapse. In the context of a collapse, the derivatives market would also collapse. The Fed might consider purchasing stocks as a measure to stabilize the financial system and prevent a domino effect of failures that could be widespread economic repercussions. The derivatives market plays a significant role in the global financial system, and a collapse in this market could have far-reaching consequences In such a hypothetical scenario, the Fed might view the purchases of stocks as a way to inject liquidity into the market, stabilize asset prices, and restore confidence in the financial system. This action potentially could cascade a series of defaults and market disruptions that could lead to broader financial disruption. Now, the Fed sits as a clearinghouse for over-the-counter derivatives, OTCs. In 2009, the G20 leaders agreed to reform, including a central clearing of standardized OTC derivatives to reduce systematic risk and increase market transparency. Central banks clearing helps address systematic risk by reducing the complexity of counterparty credit exposures in the financial system. It also provides a way to aggregate information on an outstanding deals and risk exposures for the benefits of regulatory authorities and other market propositions. The Federal Reserve's involvement in these reforms is part of a broader effort to ensure the resilience and stability of the financial system. The Fed Reserve provides services to depository institutions, including check clearing, fund transfers, automated clearing house operations, for which it receives fees. So the Fed is getting very big and very wealthy. Additionally, the Fed Reserve Bank of Chicago has authorized some of the largest clearing houses in the U.S. to open accounts with it. The clearing of derivatives is a critical function for financial stability, and the Fed Reserve's involvement in this area is part of a broader role in supervising and regulating financial institutions and activities. It's as if derivatives have become a single currency that is controlling the buying and selling of all products around the world. And the Fed becomes the clearinghouse for this single transaction medium. The Fed Reserve activities in this area are aimed at promoting resiliency, recovery, and the resolution of the derivative clearinghouse rather than the generation of wealth. Okay, I don't believe that. I believe that they are, as in any bank, how do banks make money? Through fees and penalties. So you know the Fed is making money and accumulating wealth.